Chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. I heard this scripture the other day very loud and clear. I need your help tonight. I'm not going to leave you in the negative. I'm not going to leave you hooked up to negative. I'm going to bring some positive in this, but I need your help. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. You can be seated. I want to preach for just a few minutes with the help of the Lord. And if musicians won't get too far, and need your help here in just a few moments. I want to preach for just a little bit on this subject, God's reluctance to say goodbye. God's reluctance to say goodbye. It is amazing how you can watch as families begin to converge, especially now with the holidays. There will be those that have not seen each other for some time. And when that day comes, they will all of a sudden realize that the day that they have to say goodbye is upon them. And no one wants to be the one to say goodbye. Everybody just stands there and looks at each other. And I know in my own family, the kids will come over from Louisiana and they will, I know they've got to go, and they just sit there and I go, somebody's got to go. Not being ugly, I got to get to church. You got to get home. Somebody's got to say goodbye. And one of them will say, but we don't want to say goodbye because we like spending time with each other. My sisters, they get into a crying fest when it's time to leave each other. My wife and her sister will stand there. They will be laughing one minute, and when I say we've got to go to Houston, it's like I have... Because the tears begins to flow and I have to listen to the sniffles all the way to Beaumont or Baytown or Bingle. Because they don't want to say goodbye. Goodbyes are hard. Goodbyes are terrible. Goodbyes sometimes seem final. But the word says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God is looking for somebody that will give him everything that they have. He's looking for that person that will give him all praise and all glory and all honor. And sometimes it's a difficult situation, and it's a difficult time. I can find in the Word of God where he wants you to give him glory, because he will fill a place with a cloud, and he will wait for somebody that will magnify him and will exalt him. The Spirit of God is present to meet your need tonight. Your response dictates what happens where your need is concerned. And we sit here sometimes like we're a robot waiting for somebody to program us to the right place and time that we can respond. You're supposed to respond when you enter into his gates. It didn't say if you thought you won the lottery or you're favorite team won today, or if everything is going well. It just says enter in with praise and with thanksgiving. Enter into my courts with praise, knowing that I am God. And there you will find that glory cloud that is hanging over, that is filling every space around us and wanting to do something in your midst. But the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel that when there was no one that would praise him, even when the Spirit filled the temple, it says that he went up from the cherub and he stood over the threshold and he waited for somebody to praise him, because God does not want to walk out of anybody's life. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But he will stand there waiting with anticipation for somebody to praise him. And all of a sudden, there is no praise that will come from even on the threshold. And we find now that he will go into the court, and it says that the court would be full with the brightness of God, with the Lord's glory. And he waits with and he listens for that one person that will cry out and say, I need you right now. I wonder how many times that we've walked into church and where the glory and the anointing is supposed to be, because there was not that response that he was looking for, that he turned and he walked up the aisle, and he no doubt stood at the threshold of the door and he stood there saying, won't somebody praise me? Nothing begins to happen. We're tired from the day. The week has took us out. We come in, and if somebody else will just praise him tonight, let me get a splash over blessing. I like, in case some of you didn't know it, I like to eat. I like to fix. I bake one thing. I bake a cream cheese pound cake. And I had trouble with a couple of them here, but they all tasted good. They just didn't look real good. Well, the last one turned out real good, and I didn't want to cut it because it looked so pretty. Because I was waiting for it to kind of overflow just a little bit, and I wanted that crushed. But I wasn't satisfied with just a piece of crush from a hot pound cake, because I let it sit there long enough, garden it with a 14-inch butcher knife. And a little bit, I reached over and got a bowl, and I have, well, I got an issue, I guess. They say there's medicine for that, but there's a method to my madness. And I sit there and I look at that cake, and I absorb all the aroma. The aroma is not fattening. But you stay around it long enough, and all of that butter and all them eggs and all that cream cheese in it, it gets the best of you. And you get tired of sitting there going. And I'll take that knife and I'll cut me a piece. It's been sitting there now about 3 to 5 minutes, and I'll cut me a piece out of it, and to make sure that it's to where it can be shared. And I cut that piece, and it's hot, and you can't hardly hold it, and I'm not satisfied, and I reach in, and I take a whole stick of butter. I don't use it all. Hang on. and I'll cut me a long sliver off of it and lay it on that piece of pound cake, and I put it in the microwave. And then I pour whipping cream over it. I'm going to have some for sale. How many wants to go ahead and pre-buy one? I'm not going to make that many. And I sit there and I start humming. Because I know it's just... And I put it under a glass lid and I sit there and I listen through the night. And there's a thief in the house because he's up all night long, and I can hear him rattling that cake plate. And I walk in there and it's such little slivers that's gone, and it looks like I ate a big piece when I really didn't eat that much. I get to feeling his glory. I get a touch of his anointing. And we walk in here, and a lot of times we feel like that we're cheerleaders trying to pump somebody up. But it's just that he's wanting somebody to praise him. And he's very reluctant to say goodbye. And he stands from the altar area, and he goes to the threshold, to the doorway, and then all of a sudden he's standing out here where the cars are pulling back and forth, and he's saying, are they coming or going? Are they going to praise me tonight? Or what's going to happen? And that doesn't happen. All of a sudden we find him that he's standing at the city limit sign, and he's looking back across at this place. And he's going, I wish there was just somebody that would cry out to me. I wish somebody would just give me some praise and glory for just a little bit. But with an ear that is so sensitive that he hears the cry of even the little sparrow when it begins to cry out for help. And yet he listens with anticipation for the very thing that is his pride and joy. The redeemed by the blood that would begin to give him praise and glory, and he doesn't hear it. And the next thing you know, he's in a faraway place. The Bible says that we find him on the mountain and is waiting. You can find in the Word of God, Jesus says that no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. There were lepers in the time of Israel, of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And they were all in the synagogue, and they heard these things, and they were filled with wrath. Says that they went to throw him off the city, but passing through them, the midst of them, he became invisible. And he went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. God will walk out of your life if you don't offer the sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto him. He will refuse you. He will cause you to become a wanderer. He will cause you to have hatred in your heart. There's a lot of things that will happen when you don't offer the right sacrifice. And God will walk out of your life. You can do things and you can cause God to refuse you. You can cause things to happen and God will reject you. And you will find yourself going to somebody that's got sister whoever on the sign because you're wanting to hear from God. But while there is still yet time. But there are some that is flirting with sin. You're blind. You're grinding at the mill. But God is wanting to do something for you. And just because he has left from the altar and he moved to the door and he moved to the parking lot and he moved to the city limit sign and now he's on the east side up on the mountain and he's waiting and listening for somebody. And the Bible says that if one will cry out to him, that he will make his way from the mountain on the east side, that direction. And he will begin to listen and know that, hey, somebody is calling out to me. And he makes his way and he stands at the city limit sign. He's going, where's the cry? I know God can hear all things, but I'm making a point with you. God does not want to say goodbye to one individual in this house. And when you begin to cry out to him, he's now at the city limit sign. And the more you praise him, it's just a little bit. He's standing. All of a sudden, he's standing in the driveway. It's coming from that building. And the more you praise him, all of a sudden, he's standing on the threshold of the door going, where are they at? And it's not but a minute. He's standing right beside you as you're magnifying him and giving him glory and honor. He said, that's really all that I want. I want somebody to praise me. I want somebody to praise me. It's not just another Sunday night. And the glory of God came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the noise of many waters. I can preach faith because that's what I have been raised on. I can preach about judgment because I have seen the hand of God. I can preach on giving because I have seen when God begin to pour it back upon us. I can preach about healing because with his stripes, ye are healed. But there's nothing that will get his attention any more than when somebody that is down to where they don't know where else to turn, that will say, I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have anywhere else to turn, but I've got a praise down inside of me and I've got to let it out. And the blessings of God will sound like the roar of a river as it begins to flood toward you, because the more you praise him. I'm sorry if you think that I'm trying to incite a response. No, 1,000 times no. But I've come to tell you, if you will praise him, your day will get better. You'll have a different outlook about it. You'll have a spring in your step. You'll have joy in your voice. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if anybody has come into this house tonight that has made up their mind, I'm not going to let the adversary have his way and take me out and take away my praise, but I'm going to praise God because I don't want him to say goodbye. nation this size, that there's got to be one that's had a rough, rough week. Tell kids when we were playing, I dare you. I double dog dare you. Right. It's done got serious. I triple dog dare you. Now you can do one of two things. You can either praise him and leave here with a power and a strength to fight your circumstances. Or you can leave out here and try to fight it on your own and get so discouraged that you don't know what to do. A house, not a literal house, but a spiritual house. That it's been busted open, it's been ramshacked. I see somebody surveying the damage and trying to figure out what's been taken. He says, I will restore unto you. The years. The palmer worm and the canker worm and the caterpillar and the locust and all of that that come through and wanted to devour and took and ramshacked your house. I've said it a lot of times, and the charismatic movement has took it, not from what I've said, but from the Pentecostal movement. And they preach a prosperity message. But I can tell you tonight that if you will begin to praise him, and I don't know who that one person is, that your house has been ramshacked, but in everything, give God praise. I don't know who's had the worst week, but in everything, give God some praise. Hi.